We're opening our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and as we do so, if you've not already received an outline sheet, the ushers are coming by and they'll put one in your hands. Ephesians chapter 4. You'll recall that the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians reveal to us our wealth as believers. We come face to face with some of the deepest and most wonderful doctrines of the faith to discover, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 11, that we've obtained an inheritance incorruptible in the heavenlies. That we've been raised, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 6, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. From Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, our wealth and the doctrines that display that wealth, we come to Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. In Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, we learn of our walk as believers, the duties that are called upon, that we are called upon to perform as we seek to serve the Lord with gladness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 begins with these words that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. And as we discovered the last time we opened this text, that the 17th verse of Ephesians chapter 4 challenges us not to walk as other Gentiles walk, but instead, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 2, we're to walk in love. We've opened our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to focus on Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Communicating wisely, communicating clearly, is not easy. A lot of people stumble over their attempts to communicate. Even churches stumble when trying to communicate the business of the ministry. Perhaps you've seen some of the famous bulletin bloopers that have been published over the years in various churches. Here's one that I like. "Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community." Then there's this one. "Thursday night, potluck is going to be served, prayer and medication to follow." Some of these we almost blush to share. Here's one. "The rosebud this morning is to announce the birth of David, the sin of Reverend and Mrs. Adams." Oops. "At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, 'What is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice.'" How about this? "Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large door at the side entrance." "This being Easter, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar." How about this one? "Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7. Please use the back door." "And next Sunday, a special offering will be taken to defray the cost of the new carpet. All those wishing to do something on the carpet are to come forward and do so." You never know when these are going to happen. I was a youth pastor in Colorado, and our secretary typed into the church bulletin that I was going to be hosting a junior high floor hickey activity. It was a floor hockey activity. But boy, we had a crowd for that activity, I'll tell you. This evening, as we come to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin to consider some scriptural codes for correct communication, for Christ-honoring communication, if you will. Very, very important consideration for believers. We're living in a generation of spiraling divorce rates, and frustrated children. We're living in a generation where tensions in the workplace and battles between neighbors are so provocative, and all give testimony to the fact that communication has broken down all around us. The American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy notes, the causes of marital distress vary from couple to couple and often present as difficulties with communication. Over time, the breakdown of communication evolves into increased arguing, stonewalling, defensiveness, and even contempt. An article dated December 10th, 2020, Dr. Elizabeth Scott wrote, "Perhaps the biggest predictor of marriage problems is poor communication or negative communication that belies damaging attitudes and dynamics within the relationship. Human depravity is often best evidenced by verbal incivility. Our human depravity is often quickly evidenced by our terrible ability when it comes to speaking words of grace measured with love. Matthew chapter 12 says in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Spirit of God minces no words in describing the debauchery on display in matters of human conversation. In Romans 13, the 13th verse describes the cruelty of mankind's conversation this way. Romans 13:13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they've used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips. And the spiritually sensitive agree with James, who says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly fire, a deadly poison. So are we to give up if the tongue is impossible for us to tame? No. James is pointing out that on your own, changing the way you speak will become an impossibility. Praise God, by the power of God, through the Spirit of God, we can speak in ways that can allow grace to be shared. In fact, saving grace to be shared through the words that we use. Christians absolutely must concern themselves with how they communicate. If we're to put off and put on, as Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24 speak of, then we ought to be focused, especially according to the passage that we're looking at, as to how we speak. The Spirit alone can make a difference in our speech. Ephesians 4 contains critical instruction for those who would win the war of the words. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 speaks of putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. And verse 24 says, and put on that new man. Why? That word new in verse 24 is the same word new that we saw this morning in Revelation 21. It's the word kainos, a new kind of man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God wants us to communicate in a godly fashion. So He gives to us, I believe, in the passage that we're about to begin looking at, codes for correct communication. This is a very carefully organized passage. And so I've provided a grid for you. You can fill in some of the words as we see the logic of this passage quickly this evening. In Ephesians chapter 4, we learn in verse 25 that there's something we need to put off. Wherefore, putting away lying, there's something we're supposed to put on. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. And there's a reason for it. We're members one of another. We learn in verse 26, there's something we're supposed to put off. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Removing that carnal anger, those unrighteous outbursts, we're to be known as people who understand the blessing of righteous indignation. Understanding that if we live with our carnal wrath, we're giving place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Put away stealing. But rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to those who are in need. Putting away stealing. We cultivate as the Spirit of God allows. And even as we heard in testimony this evening, a Christian work ethic that is a light in our world. And we do that in order to give to those who need. We remove, as the Spirit of God motivates, challenges, and convicts us, corrupt speech. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good, we replace it with edifying speech, to the use of edifying, that we may minister grace one to another. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you, removing these tendencies to enter into speech that's filled with friction. Instead, we're supposed to enter into speech that brings blessings. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Why should I do that? Don't you understand that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you? Do you see the logic of this passage? When we see the logic of this passage, we can drill down on it a bit further and say, this passage exposes us to five simple rules that the Spirit of God uses to convict us, to bring to us those necessary traits, those spiritual habits, those blessings of spiritual verbal victory that can be an encouragement to others. Here are the rules. Rule number one, be honest. Be honest. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. Rule number two, keep current. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Rule number three, be industrious. Be industrious. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, that he may have to give to those who need. Rule number four, attack problems, not people. Attack problems, not people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Rule number five, act, don't react. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. As we look at this passage, it shouldn't surprise us to discover that honesty is foundational to the codes of correct Christian communication. A society simply can't survive without honest communication. And so we read in James chapter 5 and verse 12, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into temptation. The first rule for righteous speech is be honest. Be honest. Be honest. And you know, that's hard for some people. That's hard for all of us. But the Spirit of God demands honesty. In the book, The Day America Told the Truth, the authors promised all those that they surveyed total anonymity if they would simply answer the questions honestly. This is what they discovered. 91% of Americans say that they lie regularly. One out of five said they lie daily. 31% believe that honesty is the best policy. 69% do not. 98% believe it's appropriate to lie if they don't hurt others. James 5 says, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Folks, a marriage can't survive if a husband lies to his wife or a wife lies to her husband. Young people, the trust that's necessary in the home for you to enjoy your time with your parents, for them to entrust you with privileges, has to first and foremost be based on the rule of honesty. Destroy the foundation of honesty and all relationships will quickly crumble. All lies are a violation of the ninth commandment. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, the Word of God simply says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Proverbs 19 and verse 5, "A false witness will not be unpunished." Revelation 21 and verse 8, we saw it this morning, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." John 8 and verse 44, "Ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer and a liar." And so we simply ask the question this evening as we begin to enter into this study of this crucially important paragraph. Are you a truth teller? The Washington Post magazine, way back in 1987, reported that 92% say that they lie to save face. And 98% said that they lie so as not to hurt others. Some will classify it as a white lie, a fib, a half-truth, an embellishment. God cuts to the chase and calls it all sin. Lying has become a cultural norm. In many ways, we are Cretans. The Cretans, you'll remember, according to Titus, were liars and slow bellies. Sounds like many Americans today. There was a study done that indicates that Catholics lie more than Protestants. Be careful lest you get proud, because both lie more than Jews. That the young lie more than the old. That the poor lie more than the rich. And that liberals lie more than conservatives. Lying is simply intentional deception. It's the bending of the truth, the exaggerating of the truth. And sometimes, silence, when we ought to speak. We are, after all, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 15, called upon to speak the truth in love. If we want to be honest, we need to respect the truth. And we respect the truth because we know that Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, I am the truth." And we remember that one lie in the garden has caused so much destruction. And one lie in the courtyard brought the condemnation of Christ. When a Christian lies, that Christian is siding with Satan. And listen, listen carefully. When a Christian is prone to lying, that same tongue that James says ought not to bring forth both sweet and bitter, that tongue that ought to be consecrated to sharing the gospel with others who are lost and dying, has been corrupted and trust is lost. And those who ought to be messengers of the greatest truth of all, that Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again, those who ought to be messengers of the truth are not trusted. Matthew 15 says in verse 18, "Those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man." If we'd be honest, we need to remove lying and respect truth, and we need to remember the reason. This passage says we need to be truth tellers because we're members one of another. You know, when the body loses feeling, the body's at risk. Leprosy was a plague in the time of the Lord. Lepers lost their extremities because they no longer could feel the fire where they cooked their food. There are those who suffer from neuropathy. Neuropathy is the loss of feeling in the extremities. Some who suffer from neuropathy lose feeling in their feet. My father, who was a diabetic on insulin for over 45 years, lost feeling in his feet. And so on a routine basis, somebody needed to look at the bottom of his feet lest he cut himself and get an infection. Even so, we remember that when we lie, we put the body at risk. the spiritual body, the health and the body of the church. Now listen carefully. May the Spirit of God convict us. We're to put off the old man and put on the new man. And there are some here this evening who need, by the grace of God, to be honest enough in their heart and spirit to say, I've been the truth. I'm silent when I ought to speak. Sometimes I even out and out lie. Honesty is the cement of all healthy biblical relationships. A little lie is a sledgehammer. It tears apart all that is good. So will you read aloud with me the 25th verse of Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians 4, verse 25, all together aloud. The Word of God says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. We'll come back to this passage next week, and then the week after that. Let me give you a challenge. If you want to memorize a very profitable passage that the Spirit of God will impact your life with on a daily basis, set about to memorize Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 25, down to the end of the chapter. And you'll find that the Spirit of God has the power to change the way you speak. Will you stand with me, please, as we pray? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as we look to the Lord. Lord, this evening we've heard wonderful testimonies. We know that You can make the tongue of man a fountain of life. The words fitly spoken are apples of gold and frames of silver. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to be truth tellers. Help us to realize the importance of what we've considered this evening. And Lord, for some in this room who find themselves at odds at home, whether with their children or with their spouse, bring conviction. God, only You can do it. You change us from the inside out. So, Lord, we plead with You to do that. We ask, Lord, that You'd allow us as a church family to have relationships filled with joy that are based on truth, recognizing that we're members one of another. Dismiss us with Your blessing. Find us faithful as we go. We'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.